You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Got some breaking news out of Major League Baseball that we will be getting into in just about 10 minutes from now. We are also getting to your phone calls here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can find him, Ian Fitzsimmons, at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W Sports. We are taking your phone calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN. That kind of came out weird.
ESPN. Really
did. 1,000 today. ESPN.
What? Who? At
Amber
ESPN?
Wilson. ESPN. Anyways, we're taking your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN because we want to know, who do you think is the worst guy or gal? And we've thrown out some nominations. The guy who talks about his fantasy football team. The guy who talks about his bracket. The guy or gal who talks about a golf round.
Bracket guy. Bracket person.
Bracket guy.
Splitting face card person. That dude, right. That person just needs to be jettisoned from the planet. If you split face cards and blackjack,
but that's not the same thing as like talking about something, over and over again. That's annoying. But
see,
we'll let
that,
you
when you're sitting at a blackjack table, that person is going to explain to you why they are splitting face cards against a six. You have a winning hand.
Right.
I don't know.
I've been at a lot of blackjack
don't
tables.
Do it.
And I don't feel like I've run into that situation a lot.
Don't do it. And I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And it burns the entire table. That person is by far, bar none, the worst on the planet. I mean, you want to show me your baby pictures and I don't ask to see your baby pictures of your kids? Okay. I can,
just a proud dad or grandpa.
I can kind of deal with that. But the fantasy guy and the golf person, those two are 1A, 1B, depending on my mood. I don't want to be around them ever.
I can't tell you how many dudes over the years, when they find out I work in sports, and I say dudes because I just haven't had this situation with a woman yet, when I tell them I work in sports, they launch into a whole dissertation on their fantasy football team. It happens every time. So for me, it's easily fantasy football guy. 888-729-3776 if you want to weigh in. Craig is calling us from my state of Florida. Hey, Craig, thanks for the call. Who's the most annoying?
I got to tell y'all, and hey, first out, shout out as a preface to the conversation to Unsportsmanlike, which is the best early morning show we've had since Mike and Mike. So shout out to Evan, Canty, and Sweet Michelle. But I got to tell you, Evan Cohen is the most annoying human being in the world. And here's why. It's not because of anything else he's ever done, because he's really good. It's because he this morning gets on and starts talking about Kentucky should fire John Calipari and hire Billy Donovan. I'm like, first off, Exact Tech Arena, which used to be the O-Dome, as you know, Amber, and you're now going to have him go to Kentucky? Get out of here, man. You're annoying.
Like, I heard that conversation live. I'm kind of with Craig on this one. I got to be honest. Craig buttered up Evan. See, he did the thing. He did the, offense
up.
or with all due respect, where you, prop
him,
you say all the nice things about the unsportsmanlike, about Evan and Michelle and Canty, and then you just launch into the Evan insults. But I tend to agree because I was listening to that segment live, and when Evan said that Billy D should go coach at Kentucky, as a Gator, I almost fell. I'm like, what are you talking about, Evan? Get the hell out of here. He's not never coaching at another school like that. Absolutely not. Stay the heck out of that conference.
Yeah, Craig, I love the comment because you kind of went off the board, right?
Unless you want to come back to Florida, by the way. I just wanted to clear about that.
Hey, Todd's doing a good job, man. I mean,
okay, we just got bounced in the first round.
You didn't have Micah.
I mean,
good gosh, we lost 102-100 to Colorado, but you didn't have, if you had Micah, you'd probably win the game. I mean, so
I get it. It's been a long time. Listen, Kentucky fans are spoiled. They had one in, what, 2013, 2012? When was that from Coach Cal? It had been a little bit longer since I had that back-to-back in 06, 07.
All I'm saying, as far as your Gators go, I mean, you know, poor Todd can't help a bone through skin, right? I mean, that's not coaching. I mean, come on. So, like, look at Amber, like, I don't give a damn. I want to win the game. As she leans back in her chair away from the mic.
Those years were good with Billy. Those years were good. Also, why the heck would Billy ever go back to college?
I mean, let me tell you. I had one very prominent Power 5 football coach tell me when I was after the national championship, when he asked me how my brother was doing after, you know, they're all about to get fired from Carolina. And I said, well, you know, he's got a couple offers from some P5 schools. And he grabs me by my suit lapel and goes, you tell Fitz, don't ever, ever come back to college football. Unless he's a head coach or unless I need him, don't ever come back to college athletics. Because NIL, the portal. So to your point, right. Billy D ain't coming back to Kentucky or to college football. There you go.
Absolutely not. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Mike is calling us from New York. Mike, thanks for the call. Who's the most annoying kind of guy?
Well, as a lifelong Jets fan, I'd have to say the fan of any single team that wins. I don't want to hear about your happiness on Monday morning. I don't want to hear about your playoff party. Can't you just be depressed like us Jets fans when football season happens? Like,
Now, is this rule obviated if the Jets actually, and I realize that this is a stretch, but if the Jets actually start winning at any point, do you change your mind?
Dude, that was so long ago. I'm almost 50
remember.
Now. I don't, my memory's not that good. I don't really remember what that's like, to be honest.
I'm almost 60, and I don't remember what that's like. Hey, so you know Mike Greenberg. Okay, good. There you go. Right there. There it
there
is.
There you go. Right there.
That's me too, right? I'm pretty happy. I'm a happy guy.
You're
winning.
You as a Chiefs fan.
You're running the gauntlet,
you know,
dude.
What? Yeah.
I think
guy has a point.
I think I'm just.
I do find you very annoying. Yeah. So there you go.
I think I'm just. I'm the worst person.
James Steele's got
an annoying guy.
James Steele is bracket person. He's fantasy football person. He's showing his kids person.
He's front-running winning team person.
Yeah. I'm a Pirate fan.
Dear Lord, dude. You're checking a lot of boxes here, bro.
You've never even been to Kansas City. Let's get back to your phone calls. Sanjay has been very patient with us, calling us from Tennessee. Sanjay, thanks for the call. Who's the worst kind of person?
Hey, listen. I enjoy your show. Ian, I've met you in Dallas. I have some friends that work for the Cowboys. But listen, both of you are a little bit out of line. You talk for a living. How can you call people out who want to talk to y'all about sports? So any of these guys, you guys need to listen to, because we listen to y'all and we enjoy your work, but you can't call out people who want to talk to you about sports.
Sanjay, you're taking this way too seriously, bro.
Well, I will say this. Well, and
it's nice meeting you,
directed at me, because I did say that as a woman who works in sports, the second I tell any dude that I work at ESPN, they launch into a dissertation about sports, but also more specifically about their fantasy football team. I get that all the time. And that's different to me than talking to me about sports. Like, me hearing about your fantasy football team, it's more annoying than you actually wanting to have a discussion with me. If I tell you, hey, I work in sports, I have a radio show at ESPN, and then you want to talk to me about whatever, XYZ, the Cowboys, whatever, fine. But your fantasy football team, you're just trying to brag to me about your fantasy football team?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm all about, hey, Sanjay, I'm all about talking sports with anybody. I'll talk sports to a rat if it'll talk back to me. But, you know, I don't want to hear about your fantasy football team. I don't.
We don't talk about ours, to be clear, too. I mean,
I
we
play
interview fantasy experts all the time. Ian doesn't play fantasy football because he lives under a rock. But the rest of us who do, I don't talk. Like, I'm not interviewing Field Yates or any of our fantasy experts. And I'm also telling him, oh, I had so-and-so in the, you know, that's who I took as my first pick and blah, blah, blah. And this is what he's doing. I'm not giving him a dissertation on my particular team.
Look, and I will be honest. This time of year, especially when it comes to tomorrow and Sunday, bracket guy, that bracket person who, you know, wants to brag about how great their bracket is, I don't need to hear it. I really don't. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm proud of you.
I don't agree with you about Bracket Guy. If you picked
it's
Yale,
once a
like
year,
the caller that we had earlier, if you picked Yale over Auburn, or you hit on one of those, like if you actually have one of the crazy upset underdogs and you hit on it, I don't mind you telling me about it.
Oh, great. I picked Duquesne. That's a good one, right?
Stop. Yeah, but you called him Duquesne. Ron and
yeah, I was like, did you from Pittsburgh. Know how to spell Duquesne before you started watching college basketball? The answer to that is no. Let's get in one more real quickly here. Ron is calling us from Memphis. Ron, thanks for the call. Try to be quick for me. Who's the most annoying guy?
Okay, the most annoying guy to me is the story guy, the guy that's trying to outdo your story. Like, one year I took my kids to Vegas, then this guy comes up talking about, oh, you went to Vegas? Oh, let me tell you what we did. We ended up meeting Ludacris and da-da-da-da. Like, okay, who cares? Like, I'm telling you my story.
Yeah, the upping your story guy. That's a good one. That's a good nomination.
Ron, too. Do you think that guy actually met Ludacris or was making it up?
I doubt it. Because if you did, you'd have came back to work and said it like when you came back.
Right, not exactly. Until you had your own story about Vegas, yeah. I think it's fair.
Ron, good call, man. The one-up guy will drive you nuts. Yeah, that dude drives me insane.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we've got to get back to the nitty-gritty here. We've got some breaking news out of Major League Baseball, an update on the Shohei Ohtani situation. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For a second straight year, Ivy Madness has come to March Madness. The Yale Bulldogs have won. Yale upsets Auburn 78-76. The Yale Bulldogs, for just the second time ever, have won an NCAA tournament game, and they will take on San Diego State in the second round on Sunday.
Not only did they win another NCAA tournament game, but they beat the Auburn Tigers, the SEC champs. That was courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. So a huge upset. Another upset there for the SEC, which has been the story of this tournament. My Gators also fell to Colorado earlier. I don't know why I feel compelled to even mention that, but it's been very tough sledding for the SEC over the last 48 hours.
Who's joining us in about 20 minutes?
So I gave James, our producer, one very specific instruction. After the Gators fell to Colorado in the most heartbreaking, heart-ripping out fashion, I went ahead and gave James
102-100.
Right, 102-100 on a last-second shot that bounced around the rim what felt like five times before it went in, sealing the game there for Colorado. I gave James one specific instruction after I stopped the cursing and
you
ran
said
out
a lot
of
bad
room,
words.
And there was some screaming, and I think that I might have broken a couple things. And then when I came back into the room, I said very, very clearly to James, do not get me anybody from Colorado. That is the one team in this entire tournament that I do not want anybody from. So what does he do?
He gets the head coach.
Yeah.
He gets the head coach. Not just anybody from Colorado. He gets the most important person from Colorado to join us tonight.
And here's a theme song.
I mean,
please, when Coach Boyle joins us, please bump in with us, right? Here we go.
Just
hey,
awful.
Hey, hey. Because we had Colorado. We had Colorado on the money line, baby. Come on with it. There we go. Good job. Good job for the show. Good job
for you, coach. Great performance from your team, coach. How do you keep them motivated, coach?
Okay, anyways. So we will continue to keep you updated on all the tournament action. But we had some breaking news out of Major League Baseball that I wanted to get to, because MLB finally released a statement regarding Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, where the interpreter was fired by the Dodgers after an alleged theft. And we don't know exactly who the theft was, who they're accusing of theft, but basically what the allegation was that $4.5 million had been stolen from Shohei Ohtani, and the interpreter ends up getting fired by the Dodgers. However, we had gotten a different story directly from the interpreter himself before the firing and before any of that happened and before the statement from Ohtani's lawyers about the theft. So things were really, really weird around this Shohei Ohtani story. It involves an illegal gambling ring in Southern California that the feds were investigating into. And there was two wires sent from Shohei Ohtani's bank account to pay off a gambling debt with an illegal bookie. So that's all been unpacked. Now Major League Baseball has issued a statement where Major League Baseball has announced that is launching a formal investigation into the matter surrounding Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, Epe Mazuhara, the league announced today. So at least we know now from Major League Baseball that they're looking into it. And Ian, frankly, no bleep. At this point, they've got to.
Yeah, well, here's two things on this. One, those two wire transfers, in case you didn't miss it yet yesterday, folks, those were for $500,000 apiece. So you're talking about $1 million in wire transfers that the feds spotted from Shohei Ohtani's account to this illegal bookmaker in Southern California. Now, on the other part, Ohtani has a right to refuse cooperation as a member of the MLBPA. He can. He can invoke his right under the interpretation of an arbitration precedent, blah, 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 all this legalese, which is more in your wheelhouse than mine. Now, here's the other part. Do you really trust that Major League Baseball in this day and age is going to truly investigate thoroughly whether Shohei Ohtani had anything to do with wagering that was going on with his interpreter, Mizuhara?
Well,
do you really have any faith that the face of the Dodgers right now,
right,
the $700 million man, the dude who's doing things we haven't seen since Babe Bleakbeam Ruth,
the best player in the sport, hands down.
They are going to truly say, if they uncover that Shohei had something to do or knew of Mizuhara's wagering and was a part of it, whichever way you want to go.
And a part of sending the money, because it's not just the wagering aspect, which obviously incredibly problematic for Major League Baseball and from an illegal perspective, because it was an illegal gambling ring, but also, the alleged potential wire fraud here that's committed, right? And so there's a lot to unpack on this in this story, where we got the original story from the interpreter that it was Shohei who wired the money from his account.
And then
to
he
pay
came
off
back
the
other way. Right.
Because
yeah.
I think lawyers got involved and they're like, oh, wait, that would be illegal. So we shouldn't say that Shohei did that because that would be illegal. I mean, that's what it looks like now. Now it looks like lawyers got involved and they're like, whoa, 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 you can't say any of this. And now we've got to allege that there's a theft, which also that's problematic, because if you're alleging that, and they didn't directly say it was the interpreter, if you're alleging the interpreter stole $4.5 million, now, of course, you're alleging grand theft and you're talking about launching an entire criminal investigation into it. So do I have faith that Major League Baseball is going to do this justice when this is the most important player in Major League Baseball? Of course, I don't have that faith.
I'm with you.
But I will say the feds are already involved independently in this thing as well. And that makes this whole situation more murky.
Anytime you go into a Major League Baseball clubhouse, and I had the privilege of covering the Texas Rangers in back-to-back World Series, you go in any Major League Baseball clubhouse, it's everywhere. Basically, you gamble and it's your ass. That's basically what it reads in any Major League Baseball clubhouse. And that's going back to Pete Rose. Do you think that Rob Manfred, yeah, to your point, and I'm with you, I have zero faith, zero, that this will be a true investigation into Shohei Ohtani and what he did or did not know. This will be an investigation into Mizuhara. He will be ostracized. He will be the scapegoat. And that's the end of the investigation. It won't go any further. Unless, to your point, the feds who are investigating this illegal sports book, they uncover something, or ESPN, you know, who got, you know, who Tish Thompson was able to get, you know, documentation from the feds on, or wherever she got it, right? On these wire transfers, it's going to take an outside party away from Major League Baseball's investigation. If Shohei Ohtani had, if, a big if, had anything to do and or had prior knowledge or any knowledge that his interpreter was wagering on NBA or, you know, Premier League soccer or whatever, if he had any knowledge, it's going to take an outside party to prove that, because there is zero doubt in my mind, Major League Baseball and their investigation does not want to find anything against Ohtani.
You don't want to find anything. I mean, the very worst case scenario for Major League Baseball is you find that Ohtani himself is actually tied to the gambling, right?
Exactly.
That's a nightmare,
right,
for Major League Baseball. But it feels like in this hole that they've almost dug themselves in, it's almost like at worst, we're going to find out that it was Ohtani that's racking up a gambling debt or has knowledge of all of this. Or at best, we're going to find out that somebody robbed Ohtani of $4.5 million and that there's major, major, major crimes that have been committed here. So like best case scenario feels like it's still going to result in major crimes. And it's a situation that Major League Baseball doesn't want to find itself in. But again, the feds have been independently investigating this because they were investigating this gambling ring. They weren't trying to find anything.
That's how this whole thing came up. Yeah.
Yeah. But they are investigating the gambling ring and see this gambling debt, see the wires from Shohei Ohtani's account. So the feds are already involved. So I kind of feel like Major League Baseball, like they have to actually have an investigation. Like they kind of have to. What are you going to do? No, you're absolutely right. They do not want to turn anything up in that investigation. This is a nightmare for Rob Manfred. I do not envy him right now. Navigating this could be career defining for the commissioner. Coming up next, Colorado eliminated my Florida Gators from the NCAA tournament earlier today. So apparently we have to have on the Colorado Buffaloes head coach.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He's unguarded as he triggers in to Simpson. 5-4. Baseline jumper rattles around and it drops through. 1.7 to go. Florida out of timeouts. Samuel ahead to Clayton. Three-quarter court. A prayer. Offline to the right. And the game is over. Colorado surges past Florida on the game winner by K.J. Simpson Jr. 102-100. March Madness is unmatched.
That was courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. I don't know why I needed to relive that moment. That was just cruel there by Harry and James there in our Bristol studio. K.J. Simpson's baseline jumper. It hit the rim five times before it went through the basket and ripped my heart out as Colorado eliminated my Florida Gators from the madness. So let's bring in the man most responsible for that victory for Colorado, head coach, longtime head coach of Colorado, Tad Boyle, kind enough to join us. And coach, thanks so much. I have to bring you behind the curtain for a minute here, coach, where that game ends, that shot after the five bounces, it goes in, you guys win. And of course, typically here throughout the last 48 hours, whenever a team wins, we effort real quickly to try to get players and coaches on. And I gave my producer one very specific instruction. And I said, I want absolutely nobody from Colorado tonight. I want nobody from Colorado. So what does he do? He gets me the most important person from Colorado. He gets me you.
Well, listen, Amber, I understand that apologies might be in order, so I'm going to apologize to you on the air. But listen, I am not the most important person. That would be KJ Simpson. That shot was such a big-time play. And, you know, the Gators, boy, they came back, and they showed no give-up. They had a lot of fight all night. I mean, I was joking to some people as I walked back to my room tonight that we held them to 100. You know, and it's funny because at halftime we're shooting 60%. You know, we're 14 of our 17 baskets were assisted, and you know we're playing great offensively, and the score's tied. So, you know, we talk about defense, we talk about rebounding, we're getting out rebounded, and about midway through the second half, I thought to myself, we may need to score 100 tonight to win, and darn if we didn't need 102, but. Yeah, the five bounces on the rim, we call that a shooter's touch in Boulder.
By the way, Coach, as she's telling James Steele, our producer, nobody from Colorado, I'm texting him going, please get us Coach Boyle, right? So that,
I love it. I love it.
It's like just go ahead and stick the needle right in it, right? Bam. I mean, it's right in the gut. Yeah. I mean, and Coach, by the way, when that ball is bouncing around the rim like that, how long does that feel as a head coach with a – you know, survive in advance on the line, and you're seeing it dance around the rim like that. How long does that last for you?
Well, it's right in front of our bench. It was almost in slow motion for me. But you know, you want, because where it was 6 seconds to go, we knew we had plenty of time to get a shot off. And you want that thing to bounce around and spend as much time up there as you can, because it takes time off the clock. And usually when it's bouncing around a lot, it gives you a good chance because, again, if it's a hard, you know, what we call a brick, you know, it's going to bounce off right away, and it's going to bounce off long. And so the softer it hits, the better chance it has of going in. And, you know, KJ just, I mean, he's a big-time player. He's been great for us all year. He's had an All-American season. I mean, he is nationally one of the best guards in the college game today, and he unfortunately does not get the exposure or whatever, the love, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, people saw tonight, you know, how efficient he is for us, how tough he is, and couldn't be happier for a guy. But I was happy for our entire team because that was a team victory. Our bench played well. It's great to see your guys have so much joy.
Simpson finished with a team-leading 23 points. Eddie Lampkin Jr. added 21 for you guys. You guys, of course, are headed now to play second-seeded Marquette on Sunday. Head coach Tad Boyle of Colorado, kind enough to join us here on Amber and Ian. Let's talk about the preparation going into this one, coach. Obviously, tournament time. You know, tell me what's different when you are starting to prepare just for the first round here in March.
Well, obviously, you know, for us, it was a quick turnaround because we played in Dayton. And, you know, you find out on Sunday, you know, about, I don't know, 4:30 in the afternoon in Boulder, that you're playing on Wednesday. You have to turn around and you're leaving the next morning at 10 a.m. to go to the airport to get on a flight. I mean, it was quick turnaround. And then you play Wednesday night and you drive to Indy the next morning after you beat a tough Boise State team. And so, and you know, guys, we went to the finals of our conference tournament. So we played three games and three nights in Las Vegas, you know. And so this team has been on the road a lot. We've had a lot of quick turnaround preps in the conference season. And now, obviously, after Boise, before Florida, and now we're facing it again because we play on Sunday. I don't know when we play on Sunday, but we'll find out tonight. And it'll be a quick turnaround for Marquette. But our guys are a veteran group that know how to digest scouting reports and take information in and then go out on the floor and execute it. Now, we didn't do a great job of executing against Florida defensively. We got to do a better job against Marquette because, you know, we can score the ball. We're a good offensive team, but to ask our guys to score 102 points, you know, back-to-back might be a little bit of a tough ask, so we better start guarding somebody.
You know, and Tad Boyle, head coach Colorado, who just knocked off Amber's Florida Gators, joining us here on ESPN Radio. They survive in advance. And going in that first four, we remember talking to Shaka Smart when BCU went to the Final Four, having been where you guys just were. And he said, you know what? It kind of helped us because we didn't lose a rhythm, you know, and we just got to keep playing. How much do you feel that aspect with your team where you're just kind of in this rhythm right now, and now you're stacking wins coming off a Pac-12 championship appearance, even though you lost to Oregon, here you are kind of in a rhythm?
Yeah, it helps. I mean, our guys got our jitters out, you know, against Boise State and Dayton. And I'm not saying Florida State had jitters, but we certainly did not. And I think it does give you an advantage, you know, on that first game because they haven't had this stage. We have. And guys, this is our 10th win in 11 games. I mean, after we lost on February 15th to UCLA at UCLA in a really hard-fought one-possession game, we've only lost one game. And that was to Oregon in Las Vegas, and it was a tie score with 4 minutes to go. And they played really, really well that night. And obviously, the Pac-12 is showing, you know, what a good league we are. Unfortunately, and I don't want to bag on your network, but I'm going to bag on your network because we get no respect throughout the season. And no, I'm serious. Don't take it personal. It's just the fact of the matter. We know how good it is. The only way you gain respect is to earn it, and you have to earn it on a stage like this. And I think we're in the process of doing that. And we'll see how we can do against a really, really good Marquette team. But we relish this opportunity to play on this stage because we know how good our team is. We also know how good our league is. And unfortunately, the rest of the country does not know that. And hopefully they're getting a little peek at it.
How much do you, because we were talking to Dana Altman about that very thing when he joined us on Monday, Oregon's head coach. How much do you and your men use that, not just forget a chip, but as just a damn sword that you pull out of the back, you know, out of a sheath and go, you know what? Hey, guys, America, we can play.
Absolutely. We use it a great deal, you know, based on our seating, based on the fact that nobody talks about us. Like I said, KJ Simpson has had an All-American type year. Guys, look at his numbers. Look at his efficiency. Look at his points, his rebounds, his assists, his field goal percentage from inside the arc and outside the arc. And tell me he's not one of the two or three best point guards in America. I'd like to see anybody that's put up bigger numbers and better numbers than him.
He's right there with Jamal Shedd at Houston. Yeah, I get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jamal, listen, we recruited Jamal Shedd. I love Jamal Shedd's a hell of a player. There's no doubt. But KJ Simpson is too, but he doesn't get talked about. And part of it is maybe we didn't win enough games. You know, we lost some tough ones early, and we had some injuries this year to our team that we've had to overcome. But we've done it. And we're playing our best basketball. We've won 10 out of 11 now. That doesn't mean anything as we prepare for Marquette. But what it does mean is, you know, we are playing well, and we're playing our best basketball in March, which as a coach, it's all you can ask for.
Head coach of Colorado, Tad Boyle, joining us. So your conference maybe not getting enough respect from networks like ours throughout the regular season. Maybe the SEC got a little too much respect because they're not faring so well here in March yet. And coach, one of the biggest stories out of the SEC has been what happened to Kentucky and Coach Cal. And it's kind of launched us into this conversation today about the changes that have happened in college basketball. So I just wanted to ask you, you've been at Colorado, I think 14 years now at the helm. So you're a very long tenured coach in college basketball. Talk to me about the changes now here, the last few years, the portal, NIL. How has coaching the game changed, and do you find it more difficult now than you used to?
Coaching the game hasn't changed. Putting together a roster has changed, like, dramatically. And I've got a lot of respect for Coach Calipari. He was a GA at the University of Kansas when I played there back in 1985. So I've known him for a long, long time. He's a hell of a basketball coach. Obviously, he's a hell of a recruiter. He's done as much to develop young men and put guys in the NBA as any coach in America. And I know I saw his comments about maybe having to change his business model. I don't know if he will or he won't. We are a recruit/evaluation program and a development program. Now, we you know, have not been in the one and done category like Kentucky has. You know, we got one this year, I think, in Cody Williams, who is a hell of a player, and we were fortunate to get. He played really well tonight, you know, and has had a couple injuries this year. He's missed 13 games for us, something like that. But it's changed. It's changed your roster management. It's changed putting a team together. But we're not a big transfer portal program. We're a recruit, evaluate, and develop program. And if you look at the guys we've had in our program, they've gotten better and better. KJ Simpson is a great example of that. Tristan Da Silva is a great example of that. We've got, you know, examples up and down our roster. But the fact of the matter is, you got to be ready for the transfer portal because it's a fact of life and it's there and it's not going to change. NIL is not going to change. So we have to adapt, but we will always take a kid out of high school and try to develop him before we take a kid out of the transfer portal. That's just our philosophy. That's what we're going to continue to do. We'll see if we can continue to be successful. Time will tell on that, but it'll be interesting as you follow our program, you know, over the next 2 to 3 years.
Coach Boyle, I'm from Louisiana. Have you ever eaten alligator? Because it's pretty tasty.
Oh,
and
come on.
I mean, so just
I have
just...
not. I have not. Nor I got no interest in that right now. We got to get ready for Marquette. But
he's already on. forget the 24-hour rule. We're in the tournament.
I don't have alligator boots, and I've never eaten it. So I'm not going to start right now. But I do have a lot of respect for Florida. You know, what Billy Donovan did there, put that program on the national map. And obviously, Coach Golden's a terrific young coach. They got a lot of talent. Holy kid, that Clayton Jr. kid. You know, we knew how good Pullen was because we coached against him, you know, last year when he was at UC Riverside, so we knew how good he was. But that Clayton kid, he's special, and we were lucky to win tonight.
Yeah, he was on fire, but KJ Simpson and your guys certainly got the better of it. Coach Tad Boyle of Colorado, they're moving on. They're seeing Marquette on Sunday. We'll be rooting for you from here on out. I wasn't rooting for you tonight, but we'll be rooting for you from here on out, Coach. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Amber. Thanks, Ian. Appreciate
you, Coach. Thank you, bud.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, would it be a mistake for the Dolphins to give Tua a contract extension? We haven't talked to NFL at all on tonight's show. Let's get into a little NFL next here on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
A mistake to give Tua Tagovailoa a contract extension with the Miami Dolphins? One person thinks so. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's get you updated on some tournament action here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel's team. I say that because they've shown him now 35,000 times in the crowd. Texas A&M is up on Nebraska. They really are. They're really excited. Johnny Manziel is there. 83-62 right now. Texas A&M over Nebraska. About just under 9.5 left in the second. Duke is leading the way over Vermont. 48-37. 48-39 right now, actually. Just over 9 minutes left there in the second. Grambling and Purdue is at the half. Purdue up 36-27. And Charleston and Alabama going at it. Alabama up 45-32. Just under 2 minutes left there in the first. In the women's bracket, you've got Colorado leading the way over Drake. 63-49. Under 2 minutes left in the third. You've got Iowa State and Maryland in action. Maryland up 59-51. Close action there. Just under five left in the third. Oregon State up 37-24 over Eastern Washington, about 3.5 left there in the second. So we'll continue to keep you updated on all of the live action across March Madness. But Joe Formbaugh, he hosts a show here called Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, 12 to 3 Eastern, Monday through Friday.
Hell of a handicapper.
And hell of a handicapper. Also, hell of a Dolphins hater. I know firsthand. I did a show with that man, and I know Chris Carlin very, very well. Carlin and I go back like 15 years. He's also a huge Miami hater. Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin, with all their Miami haterade, they say the things about the Miami Dolphins. And now they have said this about Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. Take a listen to Joe.
I'm not a believer in Tua. I'm really not. I know all these people will say, but he was in the MVP race last year. What does that exactly mean? What does that mean? Because when we got to the end of the season, was he in the race then, or was he in it early in the year when Miami was rolling up big numbers against bad teams like the Denver Broncos? Because when you talk about real MVPs, no one was making a case for him at the end of the season when it mattered. Tua's numbers jumped, his production jumped when he got a good head coach in Mike McDaniel and got some great weapons around him. But the reality is, there are games where you're going to need your quarterback to go out and win them for you. He couldn't do that in any of those games. So the reality is, Tua, I know that they're getting ready to hand him the bag. I think it's going to be a huge mistake. Maybe that's just me, but he is not the guy, in my opinion.
Again, keep in mind, Joe and Carlin, that show, a Miami hater type of show. Go ahead, Ian. Your thoughts first.
I do extend Tua. And I am unbiased in this particular conversation. Look, he completed nearly 70% of his passes for over 4,600 yards. Nobody threw for more yards than he did.
Over 4,800 yards. 4,800. I mean, it's... Yeah.
Oh, it's 4,600. But anyway.
No, 2023, 4,823 passing yards from Tua Tagovailoa. Crazy.
Bottom line is, he led the NFL in passing yards. And he was... You know, with Mike McDaniel, this combo has been really good, and he had a full healthy season. So I am not, and look, I know that Miami only beat two teams, whatever it was, with winning records. I don't care. You know, my brother, having been now in the league for over a decade as an assistant coach, taught me this many years ago. When I brought up I think I made a comment of Brett Favre only won one Super Bowl. He goes, "Are you freaking kidding me? Only one? Did you say only?" We were at our brother's reunion, and he said, "Do you have any idea how hard it is to win a game in the NFL? A game, much less a Super Bowl? So shut the hell up, man. You have no idea how hard it is." And I got undressed for about half an hour, just mother rude. And it really did, and Mike Vrabel did this to me about, 10 years before that. Obviously didn't take, and now, yeah, I get it. And when you have a quarterback that is in step with your head coach and is putting up numbers like that, I don't care who you do it against. I don't care if it's against air, right? I mean, those dudes who may have the teams that may have losing records, guess what? They're still pro athletes. So, man, when you have a quarterback like Tua, you sign him. You keep him because guess what? Who are you going to find that's better? Because there's a lot of teams out there that are searching for a dude as good as Tua. Mike McDaniel has him. They are in step. I completely disagree with Fortenbaugh. I'm re-upping this guy and signing him to the extension right now. Why? Because the head coach loves the guy and the team likes him. I'm signing him to the extension.
Do I think Tua is Patrick Mahomes? No. Do I think Tua is a top tier, top three quarterback in the league? No.
No.
And I'm a Dolphins fan. Do I think Tua is incredibly mobile? No. Do I think Tua is a top 10 quarterback statistically
yes.
in the NFL across the board? And it's inarguable. And so to your point, if you've got a top 10 quarterback and Joe's telling me that ain't good enough, a top 10 quarterback, I don't believe in that guy. Okay, where are you going from there? They don't have the number one pick in this draft. They ain't having the number one pick anytime soon. They're way too good. So how are you getting a quarterback that's bigger, that's better than a top 10 quarterback statistically? Yeah. again, across the board in the NFL, and also a quarterback that every single season has improved and every single season has answered every single doubt that is headed his way. And every season there has been doubts about Tua. Coming off of last season, it was durability. So what did he do? He went out and he played all 17 this season and showed that he can be healthy for an entire season for the first time that we had never seen. That man hadn't even done that in high school. So he went ahead and answered those questions. He answered the arm strength questions a couple years ago when they were saying he couldn't air it out, and then he starts airing it out, right? Every criticism when he was being benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick back with the Flores days, I mean, all of it, he's answered all of it. He comes out a top 10 quarterback in the league, and the Joe Fortenbaughs of the world are still going to say, it's not good enough. Show me more. Okay, but where do you go? You have to have a plan if you're not going to pay your quarterback. Coming up next, we have a plan here. We're going to continue more with plenty more here on ESPN Radio.